The world of sports media has become dry, boring, and predictable. That's why we created the Free For All Sports Podcast, starring Greg Reynolds, Joel Raggett, and Steve Bigg. Nothing personal, it's only sports.
Hey, welcome back for another week on the Free For All Sports Podcast. We got Greg Reynolds joining us on the line. Joel Raggett is thankfully not sitting right next to him. I'm Stephen Bigg, and today
Because you sign a rapper to your basketball team does not mean you automatically get league cred or people believe in your team or you'll get a winning franchise. I'm so embarrassed to be Canadian after the Toronto Raptors signed rapper Drake as their global ambassador this week to the team, which really means nothing except for Drake is going to go around the world and be forced to wear Toronto Raptors gear and be like, hey, did you guys hear the Raptors lost this game? And people are going to look at him and be like, hey, man, don't know who the Raptors are. Thanks for coming to the game. I like your new album. It was pretty sick.
I'm embarrassed for you that you referred to him as a rapper. Isn't he more of a hip-hop artist? And really, what's the harm in it? I mean, the guy's a Degrassi alum. How many Americans know that? None. The guy's actually bringing a little bit of the spotlight to Canada. How many people actually know Drake is Canadian? None. They just see him as this, I mean, Bieber, they can have Bieber. They can have Drake too, but at least with this, there's a little bit of light being shone on Canada. Granted, it's on Toronto, but...
But he's got no basketball background. He brings nothing to the franchise. He knows nothing about basketball. He goes to games and is friends with basketball players. They think that's going to give them an edge in signing free agents. Still, nobody wants to move from the U.S. to Canada to play basketball for the only Canadian franchise. Nobody wants to do it. It doesn't make any sense, and the Raptors never, ever win. They don't get an edge in free agency just because they have Drake. Here's what Toronto did. They saw the Brooklyn Nets get Jay-Z, but I think they forgot the fact that Jay-Z bought into the franchise. Then they saw the Nets turn around and get good. They moved to Brooklyn. They got a new stadium. Now they have Pierce Garnett and Jason Terry. Oh, and Darren Williams. So they're doing pretty well. But again, they forget that the Brooklyn Nets have a billionaire Russian owner that can pay these guys money. The Raptors don't have any of that. This is just them. Again, it's like Canada, little brother trying to be exactly like big brother. Toronto wants to be New York. Toronto wants to be Brooklyn. So they get a rapper. Well, we should get a rapper. Who can we get? Oh, what's a good Canadian rapper? Is Chuck Clair anywhere? No, I don't think Chuck Clair raps anymore. Snow. Is Snow doing anything? No, I don't think we can get a hold of Snow. Drake. Does anybody know Drake? Yeah, I talked to him the other day. Okay, let's sign him to a fake position.
First of all, Reynolds, I got to give you mad props for the Chuck Clair name drop. never, ever thought that something like that would ever be mentioned on this show.
I thought that was just an, as the Americans say, a candy bar. Is Chuck Clair like an actual, it really?
Yeah,
he man was wanted of, to ride, of, what did he do? Swear he had a couple, down, sweet chariot.
He had a couple pretty big hits in the 90s, but I mean, it's been a long time since he was relevant.
Reynolds, sing Informer for me now. Come on.
Oh, I that's can't rap as fast as Snow raps.
Come on.
Informer. Clicky on bombay. Does that work?
That's good.
That's better than I could ever imagine.
I lick you boom. Isn't it I lick you boom boom down there? Isn't that what he was
saying? It might be.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
Anyway.
Join us next week for more dissection of Snow's lyrics.
Oh, man, I just get so embarrassed.
The Canadian Vanilla Ice.
Like, do you guys remember when American Idol was huge and then we had Canadian Idol and some girl won that I think lives under a bridge now? This is what happens every time Canada sees something cool that the U.S. does. They're like, hey, we can do that. And then they sign Drake to the Toronto Raptors as a global ambassador. It just doesn't make any sense, and it's so embarrassing for their franchise.
You know what? I got to say right off the bat that I'm definitely biased in this topic because I hate Drake. I don't have any time for him or his music. But the funniest thing to me when I heard this story was that right after the Heat won their second title this last year, there was a big story about a video making the rounds on YouTube that showed Drake and his entourage back in the bowels of Miami's arena trying to get into the locker room for the Heat party and getting denied by these security guards. And Drake looked like somebody shot his best friend. You know, it was like the, what, you mean I can't get in? You know who I am. I'm Drake. Well, here he is trying to party with the Heat, and now all of a sudden he's always been a Raptors fan and is the world's biggest Raptors fan and wants to help grow the franchise. What a load of bullshit. It's total bullshit. And you're right. It is them trying to be like the Brooklyn Nets.
But what about this? He had some influence on the kid that went to KU from Toronto, right? What's that kid's name? The guy who's going to go first overall. Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins. Right?
Andrew Wiggins, he had a say, and he had some influence on Wiggins going to Kansas to play basketball. So what happens if Drake all of a sudden wields his little magic wand and has Andrew Wiggins pull, for lack of a better term, Eli Manning? So
hey, I love the way you're thinking, but the Raptors don't have to pull any of that. They don't have to pull any of that. They're going to be in last place just like they always are. They're going to have first crack at Andrew Wiggins and go ahead and take him.
Well, then maybe this is making even more sense. I mean, they're boys. He had some influence on him going to Kansas. They're boys. They have to be. So maybe this was a hiring in order to make Wiggins a little bit more comfortable as he comes to Toronto next year. I mean,
How can he not be comfortable in his hometown?
Well, no, but he's, I mean, how could you be comfortable playing for the Raptors? The team hasn't been good since Damon Stoudemire was their starting point guard. I mean, they're bad. They've always been bad. Maybe this will soften the blow a little bit about having to go and play in the purple and red. I mean, think about
it. Let me tell you.
It makes sense.
Big hates Drake. I personally love Drake. I think his new album's awesome, but I hate the Raptors so much that this makes me hate Drake a little bit, which makes me hate the Raptors even more, which I didn't think was possible. You guys know how much I hate the Raptors.
Yeah, you sure do hate the Raptors. And a while ago, you wrote an article for the website that's still relevant, still worth checking out. You can go to freeforallsports.com, and it'll be right there for you to read. The baseball playoffs are getting underway, actually, as we record this right now. But there was a game played, was it two nights ago? The Texas-Tampa Bay game. Texas was at home, and most people by now that have been following the whole steroids thing know that Nelson Cruz, arguably their best hitter, certainly I think their best power hitter, was one of the players suspended for 50 games by the investigation into that clinic in Florida. And because of the extra game being played, the 163rd, Nelson Cruz's suspension actually expired. So he was able to play in the quote-unquote wild card game. I guess that's what they refer to it as. Certainly it's within the rules to play him. I get that. The suspension's been served and it's expired. But I just have a bit of a problem with him playing cold. You know, he's been off for 50 games. Obviously his bat speed's not going to be where it is. And, you know, you've had these guys playing for you down the stretch that have helped you even get to the wild card game. Yes, Texas certainly lagged in the second half a little bit, but that was pretty much because they lost their best power hitter. What kind of message does it send to start a guy like that? Because I personally don't like it.
I think it's okay, personally. I mean, the Rangers were junk. They were awful, bad, coming down the stretch, and looked like they were going to miss the playoffs. Yet a guy who's going to add some pop to your lineup, it's well within the rules, so let him play. I got no problem with adding a better bat to your lineup, especially, I mean, cold or not, the guy probably still took batting practice. He still did fielding drills. As far as game action, it's baseball. You're going to get the ball hit to you more often in practice than you are in a game in most circumstances. So,
if you're suspended, then you're not practicing. You're not allowed at the facility, right?
Well,
isn't that what a suspension entails?
You can go to a batting cage.
Yeah, but it's not the same. Thanks for coming to the batting cage. What setting do you want? Do you want T-ball or Justin Verlander? Honestly, what are they? You don't just go to the batting cage and they're like, okay, we're going to give you some sliders and some curveballs and That doesn't happen. If you're suspended, you're not around the team, you're not getting the full training regimen in that you would probably get if you weren't. And you know what? When Melky Cabrera was suspended with San Francisco last year, they left him off of their playoff roster, even though he'd been on fire before he got suspended. But what did they do? They went on and won the World Series.
But did the team lag in his absence? No. In fact, they got better. So he was extra, which is why they had the ability to get rid of him over the summer. He was unnecessary. They didn't lose anything without him in the lineup. So, you know, that's not neither here nor there. This is a guy that without him got worse.
Take steroids is exactly what Ron Washington, Bud Selig, and the MLB have said to all of North America this season in the MLB. You know, for the longest time, it was, oh, my God, steroids are such a problem in sports. We can't get steroids out of baseball. This is the baseball steroid era. Nobody's ever going to live this down. How can we clean up the game? Well, then they find out about Biogenesis after all these other reports, naming guys like Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun and Melky Cabrera again and Nelson Cruz, and they say, okay, guys, we have to lay the hammer down, except for they didn't. To give Nelson Cruz a 50-game suspension and then let him come back during the season and try to help his team win. I have so much respect for Bruce Bochy leaving Melky Cabrera off the team and then letting him go. I think Ron Washington is a little bitch saying, oh, my God, okay, you're done from your steroid suspension, which is illegal. Thanks. Come back and try and help our team get into the playoffs. That is such a pathetic move by a manager. And if everybody got together and really tried to clean up the game of baseball, they could easily eliminate steroids, but guess what? They don't want to. That's why they let Alex Rodriguez play. That's why they let Nelson Cruz come back. That's why Melky Cabrera is still in the league. There are guys that have been suspended 2, 3, even 4 times for steroids now and still get to play. They don't want to get rid of this stuff, so why bother putting on the farce and say you want to? Just allow it, because you are anyways.
Hey, I'm all for seeing 600-foot home runs. Let them all juice, as far as I'm concerned. 120-mile-an-hour pitch? Chase that one. Fire, let them all go. I could care. At this point, I'm so numb to it that it doesn't even matter to me. But I'll tell you what, this is definitely another one of those polarizing topics. No one on this panel can agree on anything, but we want to know what you think. So you can tweet us at FFA Sports. Let us know whether or not you think the Rangers should have played Nelson Cruz, and we will retweet the best responses. So while we're on the topic of poor decisions and idiots, let's talk about Lane Kiffin and the fact that USC fired Lane Kiffin this past Saturday at 4 in the morning at their private airport after yet another loss, this time to Arizona State, where they tied the school record for most points allowed during the regular season at 62. I'm going to give you a couple of quick numbers on Lane Kiffin real fast. 28-15 as head coach at USC. That's no good. 17-12 in conference. Let's keep in mind that they play Utah, Colorado, Oregon State, Washington State, Arizona, and until recently, the really bad U.S. or UCLA team, and they also play Cal. You lost 12 games in 4 years. 0-2 career in bowl games. Lost to Georgia Tech last year. How bad is that? And that reminds me of his time with the Oakland Raiders as their head coach. 4-12, dead last in his first season, 1-3, and then down comes the axe. Lane Kiffin is a guy who fired his own dad as his defensive coordinator. Granted, USC's defense was god-awful last year, absolutely horrendous. And there were some sanctions levied, but this is a joke. This was a long time coming. Lane Kiffin should never get another head coaching job in college or otherwise. The guy has no idea how to deal with talent. And good riddance to bad rubbish, as far as I'm concerned.
The problem here is Lane Kiffin has never really been given a fair shot as a head coach. So he goes to Oakland, but he goes to Oakland during the crazy Al Davis days when he was basically knocking on death's door and would fire a coach every season just because it made him feel rejuvenated enough to get through a new season to go and watch and hate the new head coach that he has just hired. So he gets a season in Oakland and gets canned, and he didn't have anything to work with. He walked into a pile of crap, which every coach has done for the past 12 seasons in Oakland. So then he goes to Tennessee. Well, he didn't like the Tennessee job, and that was kind of a screwball move. But when you see greener pastures ahead, you're going to go to them. And he had had the ties with USC, so he takes the USC job because they pay a ton, and you get to live in Southern Cal. The problem is Pete Carroll left such a pile of crap behind that Lane Kiffin had to work it out over the past 3-4 years. And he's just starting to get his legs under him, and he had to fire his dad because his dad was senile and couldn't figure out call his ball, thought he was still coaching in the NFL. And so he's just finally starting to get his legs under him, and he's finally getting his own recruiting class coming in, and USC goes and cans him. How long did they keep Pete Carroll? A long time. I think they should have given him another shot. And I think right now Lane Kiffin is going to go to like a Division II school, probably be a head coach, do really well again. He's going to come back to college a little bit more mature, and he's actually going to be a really good head coach for a long time to come.
I don't know the background, but did Pete Carroll ever allow 62 points against Arizona?
Never. Arizona
I mean, I read Bill Plaschke's article in the LA Times on Lane Kiffin's firing, and he was just like Joel. He felt that it was long overdue and was probably doomed from the start. I've always hated Lane Kiffin, and there's been a lot of reports about how he handled the guys in the locker room and a bunch of off-the-field stuff. Obviously, the product wasn't there on the field. It just seems a circus follows him everywhere he goes. Good coaches know how to mold teams and take problem guys and keep them in line. I mean, you think problem guys have never played for USC? It's right in the middle of Los Angeles. It's probably one of the craziest epicenters to be in as a young kid who's looking at a pro deal. Good coaches take that, and they're able to get guys to focus and go, hey, this is one of the proudest programs in the country. We don't lose games allowing 62 points. It just doesn't happen. Lane Kiffin let it spin far too out of control, and I agree. I was skeptical when he got hired after he left Tennessee, because when you hire a guy that just sort of jumps ships like that, Bobby Petrino, nothing good ever comes of it.
Really? And here's Nick Saban jumps ship all the time, and he's the best head coach in college football.
All the time. He left the Dolphins. He left LSU to go try the pros, found out he didn't like the pros, so he went to. The way he did it, granted, was a little sketchy. But back to Lane Kiffin, let me give you a couple of numbers. And this is something for Chris Hunter, who was talking about this on our Twitter feed on the FFA Sports. He was saying the thing is that he didn't have an opportunity because of the sanctions. Well, and the slightly fewer scholarships that they took away. Well, here's the thing. You're not going to play any walk-ons. That doesn't happen. So you can take away those scholarships. And while Lane Kiffin was at Tennessee, the 1 year he was at Tennessee, his recruiting class was ranked 10th. The year he went to USC, first. The next year, fourth. Then 8th, and then this last year, 13th. So he is getting blue-chip players to go to USC, and they still suck. So this has nothing to do with sanctions. This has nothing to do with quality of talent. This is a bad coach that finally got let go.
Don't you think it's a tainted situation? It's like Bill O'Brien stepping in to the mess at Penn State. You can't just turn that around in 1, 2, or even 3 years. It was such a disaster when he walked into USC or when Bill O'Brien walked into Penn State. You can't just make magic overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. I really think if you give him a little bit more time, he'll be fine. The problem is USC is such a hot market. They expect to win, and they expect to win all the time, and that's because of Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll set that standard, and now everybody expects it every single year. Well, with the mess that he left, no coach could step in and succeed.
Well, the thing is that his recruiting classes, as those numbers showed, were getting worse. So he was alienating and ostracizing players that wanted to come to USC, or he wasn't able to convince players that didn't necessarily want to come to come. So the school and program was slowly getting worse because of his inability to recruit. And the only reason you can't recruit is because you're either not selling the program or you're not selling yourself.
Here's what I hope. As soon as Nick Saban leaves Alabama for Texas, that's when Lane Kiffin gets hired at Alabama, and then you have to root for him. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. Neither one of those will ever happen because Nick Saban's a lifer at Alabama.
Nick Saban's not a lifer anywhere.
You're listening to the Free For All Sports Podcast. Nothing personal. It's only sports.
All right, now that we're back, we all put on our flannel, we've got our toques on, and we got hockey on in the background. It's time to tell someone to take off, you hoser. I say take off, hoser, to Michael Jordan. He's one of these old guys now that sits around and talks about, well, back in my day, I could have beat this guy and this guy and this guy. Somebody asked him a stupid question, because that's all reporters do these days, about who would win in a one-on-one game, him or LeBron. And he just went off. Oh, I could take LeBron James, no problem. I'm better than LeBron. I couldn't take Kobe, though, because Kobe stole all my moves. And it's not just Michael. It's every guy that sits around that is past his prime and can prove nothing because he can't go on the court or the field or the ice and face this guy and talks about, well, I could totally beat this guy. You can't, because you can't prove it. So don't say anything. Say, you know what? He's a good player. Might be a draw. Because you don't know. Unless you're going to create yourself an NBA 2K14 and go against Jordan or go against LeBron or go against Kobe, it's not going to happen. So stop with these false dreams that you have about going back in the day and who would win, best player versus best player. You're all great players. You're just leaving a different legacy. So shut up.
It sounds like it's like the golf version of, the basketball version of Johnny Miller. That's what Johnny Miller does.
What's the back in my day thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not a very good decision. I would have played it this way. Like, shut up, Johnny Miller.
Nobody cares what you would do, Johnny.
Yeah, you suck. Well, you were great then, but you suck now.
Well, it's like who would win in a match play between Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus? Well, right now, Tiger Woods, because he's not 90.
Yeah.
You can't do it any other way.
I got to take off, Hoser. This one is for San Francisco 49ers strong safety Dante Hitler, or apparently that's what he's changing his name to. Dante Hitler. That's ridiculous. Changing your name.
He's actually doing that?
Well, it's actually Hitner, but neither one of you really picked up on Hitler, so I'll move on. We all know how well NFL name changes have gone. Ocho Cinco, that was a train wreck. He's back to being Chad Johnson now. This is a guy who has 454 career tackles in 8 seasons. Hitner. It just seems a little bit bizarre. 9 career interceptions, and this guy thinks he's Hitner? Why not go all the way and just call yourself Dante Hitman or something like that? It just makes absolutely no sense. If you were going to change your name, I'd change my name to Denver Broncos safety, Duke Iheanacho. How many Denver games have you watched where you're like, that's an awesome name, Duke Iheanacho? Guy's in on every play, too. So, Dante Hitner, you take off, hoser.
Who's the guy that Cleveland drafted? Barkevious, what's his name?
Mingo.
Barkevious Mingo, that's the best name in the NFL. Actually, you know what? I got to give props to DeBrickashaw Ferguson, too.
DeBrickashaw Ferguson was a good one.
Sounds like somebody named him with tobacco in their mouth.
Duke Iheanacho.
What do you want to name our kid? I don't know, DeBrickashaw. All right. It's more takeoff hosers. I'm going to stick up for a second for a guy we talked about in depth last week, Mr. Phil Kessel. There's been a lot of people out there since Phil Kessel just signed his 8-year, $8 million per contract. And everybody's going, way to go, Toronto, way to overpay and way to do this, way to do that. You know what? He got exactly market value, and peer scores in the NHL are rarer than hen's teeth. They just don't come around very often. If Toronto didn't give him that contract, 29 other teams probably would have seriously considered it. So all you Leafs haters that are laughing at Toronto for signing Phil Kessel, take a look at your team and ask yourself what they've got. Because odds are, if you cheer for 20 of the other teams in the league, you don't have a player as good as Phil Kessel on your team. Take off, hosers.
You know, you always make fun of Joel's age, but I haven't heard that hen's teeth expression ever.
I was just going to ask, Greg, do you know what hen's teeth are?
No.
I assume
it was discovered sometime during Prohibition, Steve.
That's how rare they are. You don't even know what they are.
They're pretty rare. They're pretty rare. Well, I want to kick off tonight's David Putty High Fives, and I'm sure both of you can guess who it's going to. That's right. New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees for not losing to the Miami Dolphins, which would have put me in the same league as a couple other two idiots I know. This was Brees' ninth straight Monday Night Football win. Ridiculous. He's only two, he's behind Steve Young, who's got 11 or 12 and someone else. He's third all time. This was his ninth straight 300-plus passing game in a row consecutively. That's also a record, his own. 20-plus completions, yeah, that's 56 straight games, again, extending his own record. And this is the sixth, he did move into sixth all-time in passing yards. Drew Brees, first ballot Hall of Famer, thank you for beating Miami because Indianapolis and Atlanta could not.
Do you know what the best part about that is? You know what his 10th Monday night game is? December 2nd at Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Have fun. See you later.
Yeah, that's no good. That's where it comes to an end.
Yeah, getting that 10th is going to be pretty hard for Drew.
Yeah, looking at Seattle now.
You're just sort of a backhanded high five and then slap in the face to us too, which was kind of a dickhead move. But I'll take my high five, and I'm going to give my David Putty high five to Mike McCoy, because I hate Philip Rivers, but I hated him even more the past couple of years because he wasn't even Philip Rivers anymore. I hated Philip Rivers originally because he was good, but he was a cocky dick about it. The past couple of seasons, he's just been terrible. And you kind of wonder, what happened to this guy? What happened to him was that he didn't like his offensive system anymore. He didn't like Norv Turner. So Mike McCoy comes in, turns things around, and Philip Rivers actually looks good. Philip Rivers looks like he can take San Diego maybe to a playoff spot if they can get that defense right. He's not turning the ball over. I mean, everybody's praising Mark Trestman and Jay Cutler in Chicago, but they're totally missing Mike McCoy and Philip Rivers' magic.
Isn't it hard to believe that, what was it, not even 2 or 3 years ago, we were talking about the AFC and the NFC Wests both being the worst divisions in football, and now they're probably the two best, maybe?
Yep.
Close. Well, there's talk that if it weren't for Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers would be considered the front runner for MVP. I mean, he's been that good.
It's early. And four games is a little early for MVP talk.
Well, I hate Philip Rivers.
I hate Denver Broncos fans. Denver Broncos fans are the worst. Guys, your opponents are 4-12 this year. You haven't won anything. And as a fan of Indianapolis, I've seen this song and dance before. Have fun going 13-14-15-0 and then getting bounced first round in the playoffs.
And those same teams would be 4-8 if they didn't play Denver.
Until next time, this has been the Free For All Sports Podcast. Visit freeforallsports.com or tweet us at FFA Sports. Yeah.